I'm Tom Hall. I'm here at University of California, San Francisco, and I've been involved in health workforce planning for many years on many different institutions, UNC, Chapel Hill, Johns Hopkins, Harvard, so on. Anyway, I will be taking the first session here, and we're going to try to keep on schedule so that then we can have some adequate time for discussion later on. And what I'd like to do is sort of set the scene in terms of what is going on in the global health education area. So we are all asked to have our disclaimer, so I put this disclaimer in. And back 21 years ago, IMEC was formed, International Health Medical Education Consortium, and it was a bunch of lonely physicians, mainly at medical schools, that wanted to relate with each other on global health education. And out of that, IMEC evolved into GHEC, Global Health Education Consortium, which accepted other disciplines besides medicine. And by the end of 2011, they had about 90 members and about 700 faculty that were involved. And the website produced many resources. GHEC had five major areas that they were interested in. The ones in red are the ones that they accomplished something on, developing competency-based standards for physicians and latterly for nurses in global health, and then increasing educational materials and resources, and in those resources working to try to make them more effective and more efficient. We never really got very far in collaborating with overseas institutions or evaluating educational accomplishments. These are the major accomplishments that we had over the years, some 90 educational modules developed by volunteer faculty and students. We're developing a modular course for pediatric residents on how to provide care to children in low-resource regions, a modular course on introduction to global health, and then guidelines for developing a curriculum and for improving a residency in global health. And we developed 3 years ago, 4 years ago, a comprehensive global health bibliography. In 2008, a new organization overlapping in terms of mission was formed, based at my university here in San Francisco, the Consortium of Universities for Global Health. And it was clear that the two organizations could not continue indefinitely, each asking universities to pay membership fees and so forth, so we merged. And the merger of the two organizations, I think, will bring a lot of additional strength. GHEC was sort of a bottom-up organization, a lot of student emphasis. CUGH is more of a top-down university president and senior faculty organization. They're both interested in educational resources and communications, but the new feature will be largely advocacy and partnerships with universities overseas. So in 2011, we had an education programs committee. I was staff to that committee. We met a number of times throughout the year, developed a 40-page report, had a number of recommendations for the short term, for the very near term, developing competencies across disciplines, an information center that would really be a one-stop shopping center for information about global health education, convening an education committee with student representation and developing a variety of educational resources. Current tasks, the educational committee is formed, had a first conference call. It's now recruiting people to be on a hardworking education committee and looking for students. We hope to have a trainee advisory committee, and the discussions would lead to setting an agenda for the coming next several years. My task in the coming months is going to be transferring upwards of 160 different products that GHEC developed over the years over to the CUGH website so they continue to be available, and as well as working on some new ones. In the last several minutes, I'd like to talk about the priorities and challenges that we that we see ahead. One is to develop competency standards. The board of CUGH felt this was very important. We've got good starts in medicine. We've got a moderate start in nursing. We have some start in physician assistance in terms of developing competency standards, but we have really nothing in all of the 10 to 15 other disciplines that have high relevance to global health: economics, law, business, agriculture, nutrition, political science, development studies, environment studies. And so that's going to be a major task to try to find the people who can help develop these competency standards for these other disciplines that are relevant to global health. And then evaluating the potential of online educational resources. To what extent can these be used to ease the faculty shortages in developing countries? Can the interactive resources that are quite expensive to use, can they justify their cost? An interesting study was done by the Department of Education in 2009, reviewed over 1,000 studies of using online materials to try to evaluate it. Most of those studies were of adult learners, not children in school age. And that kind of study needs to be repeated and expanded to really see what is the best way of providing this kind of information. And what is the best mix of blended and online-only courses? Blended means online plus instructor versus online only. And then monitor and develop and adopt new educational tools. Of course, the main one that we have and have been using now for years, PowerPoint, but there's lots of other things that are more refined that could be useful. Want to develop this Information Center website as a one-stop center for educational resources. Certainly exploring potential of cross-institutional collaborations. GHEC did a little bit of this. We worked with Cuba, with South Africa, to develop some modules that would be relevant both to their situations and to our situations. And we're very well aware that many of the educational resources that we developed in GHEC are not really optimum for a country overseas, in low-resource regions. So we want to try to work on some collaborations there. Possibility down the line of having certificate and continuing education courses, certainly faculty workshops. Largely up to now, faculty have sort of surfaced there. They've had some international experience, and then they become the international authority at their respective college or university. But how about training people for a role, bringing in good clinicians and other disciplines, and getting them up to speed in global health? And then evaluating the impact of global health education programs over time. And I participated with a group in Canada last April, headed up by Neil Raya, in terms of a longitudinal evaluation so that we can eventually have better information on what we accomplish. So that is it, a vast run through, and we've got a lot of heavy lifting up ahead, and my three colleagues here will bring you some of the work that they're developing. Okay, how many minutes did I use? Less than... Okay. Extra. If I have any questions, I went very fast. I'm ahead of time, so let me take a couple of questions if there are any. Yes?
This may be too specific, but you mentioned competencies. Exactly a year ago, the Association of Schools of Public Health came up with their global health competencies. Could you talk a little bit about that and colleagues of lots of whether do those competencies sort of hit the mark and been reviewed over the past year, or are there some areas, domains and areas that really need to be expanded on the public health competencies?
Very glad you brought that up, and I should have remembered it because I was part of the competency team that was working on it. The Association of Schools of Public Health launched a project, I guess it was a better part of 2 years, and seven different...
I'm going to be talking about that exactly.
Oh, you're going to be, okay,
so
I don't want to...
Right.
So I won't infringe much on Laura, just to say that the competencies were developed And it was quite impressive. I was in Domain 7, which was on strategic planning, and it was quite a tour de force, well, the 10 of us sorting out and trying to get the competencies. Any other questions?
How long is such collaboration?
What? How are the
research collaborations?
Oh, research collaborations relate to CUGH or?
Facilitated by.
Well, first, CUGH is new. They've just recently identified their likely director. They don't have permanent staff. So much of the kinds of what you're asking is still coming up. There are three major areas, of course, for any university, and it's teaching, service, and research. The teaching component of CUGH, I think, will be very great because they're all involved in teaching. The service will be relatively limited because basically U.S. universities or Canadian ones are not in the business of providing service overseas except as a function of service. And the research, I think, has to be explored because basically CUGH doesn't ask for research money. It's universities individually or investigators asking for research money. So I'm unclear as to how they would facilitate it except as they work on these enabling programs to partner with an overseas university and through that partnership then promote research that's relevant to the partnership and of interest to the host university over here.